The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on your health. You know, you've had problems, right? You've tried, you've applied, you've done all kinds of things that you thought might work, and what, nothing's happened, right? Or it's gotten worse? 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you, see if we can help you out and point you in a different direction. You know, something that might actually get you off and, you know, the right direction without drugs, without surgery. What a thought. That's what you're meant to be, and that's really what this program is all about. We do have an interesting presentation today, one that, you know, many of you know, let me start it this way. Many of you know that I'm from the Western New York area where we average out about 250 inches of snow a year south of Buffalo. And, you know, we get out there and you're digging and you're pushing and you're shoveling, and that goes on for several months. Sometimes you don't see the sidewalk from November all the way through till April. What am I talking about? We're talking about shoulder pain. This time of the year, you really get it. If you've been limping around with it for a long period of time, you've been putting emollients on it and rubbing things in it and doing things with it, and there's no help, no hope. You're on different types of medications to knock the pain out, but you're still in the same old place. Well, we're going to go through that little widget, if you will, and tell you what's causing the problem, but more importantly, what you can do to fix it. So this coming Wednesday evening, December the 11th at 7 p.m. at the Rozell Center for Healing, it is our last in-house continuing education program for 2019. And it's on the natural treatment of shoulder pain, and it's going to be presented by our brightest and most capable and quick young mind in the office, Dr. Jerry Cowart. Dr. Cowart, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
It's fun. You know, we're going to get into the nuances, and you know, shoulder pain is something that, you know, we see way too much of in the practice, and it can come from a lot of different situations. But once it's there, people are limited. They can't roll over in bed. They're hurt just standing there. They try to put their coat on. They reach back and they can't get their arms all the way back. They try to get them above their head and they can't do that. And the doc says, well, you have a frozen shoulder. They take a set of x-rays and we got degenerative disease coming on. Let's start in the beginning. Let's talk about, you know, this insidious type of shoulder pain from ache to stab to sharp to burning and so forth. Walk us through it. What kind of things are we looking at as far as causative, and not causative, you know, describe the pain, if you will. What are our listeners suffering with here?
Yeah, a lot of times we're looking at general achiness, especially within the shoulder, as we're talking about here. We even see radiating pain down from, you know, starting from the shoulder, sometimes starting from the neck, going all the way down into the arm. We see, you know, burning, stabbing, you know, all the same stuff you just mentioned. And sometimes you're experiencing more than one of those things at the same time.
You know, it's really incredible when you start looking at patients that come in with some type of shoulder irritation and we send them out for x-rays. Sometimes the x-rays are revealing. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they come back and you have massive amounts of degeneration. We're going to talk about that type of thing as the show goes on. But sometimes there's no evidence of anything that's occurring within the joint itself. The x-rays are basically negative. So traditional physicians are left with, here, take this and let's see how it goes. Let's watch it. And that's the thing that drives me crazy. Watch it. What are we watching? So why is that? Why can an x-ray come back negative and yet the patient has tremendous amount of irritation in the shoulder?
Well, the x-ray can be very revealing, but the problem with x-ray is that it's only going to show your hard, bony, your structures there. And oftentimes the issue isn't coming from the bone, the joint itself. It's coming possibly from the muscular or the soft tissue that is surrounding the joint, whether it be the muscular portion of it, the tendons, any kind of bursa, anything like that as well.
You know, when you're dealing with the shoulder and you talk about shoulder tears, you talk about the rotator cuff, those all have to be looked at. So let's break it down into segments. You know, we treat a lot of professional athletes in our office and weekend warriors, you know, guys like you and me, and we're out doing things that, you know, we're not accustomed to doing and we get hurt. So how does, can you differentiate for us the difference between somebody who has the potential or presents with the possibility that they have a tear, rotator cuff or otherwise, or somebody who has a bursitis or a tendonitis? You know, we hear those terms all over the place, and they seem to be distinguishing features, but what do they really mean?
Yeah, so when we're looking at something like the bursitis, tendonitis, anything with the itis, if you will, we're looking at the constant overuse, wear and tear, inflammation patterns of it. And a lot of times that's coming from muscles that may not be working properly, so other muscles are having to do their job. So you're going to have that overuse. And the joints or the musculature or the other soft tissue around it will constantly get inflamed result of that.
You know, there's an interesting distinguishing characteristic between tendonitis and bursitis that I've noted over the years that's very traditional in its diagnostic applications. If you take your arm and you try to elevate it and it's painful, but I take your arm and elevate it and it's not painful, then that is a different situation. Then we have a tendonitis, because what I've just done is I've taken the movement out of your muscles and your tendon. But if I move it and it's painful and you move it and it's painful, now we have a bursitis. So let's break those down a little bit, because I'm going to lead that in. I'm going to kind of put you up against the wall a little bit with a frozen shoulder as we go through this whole thing. But we're here at 888-630-9625. In-house, my guest, your host this coming Wednesday evening at the Roselle Center for Healing, 7 p.m., our last presentation for 2019. We're going to be doing this on shoulder pain. But more importantly, how do you get rid of this nagging, nasty, ugly shoulder pain that you've been suffering for years and taking anti-inflammatories? And, you know, some of you started out, well, my shoulder hurts, take this. And then a few years later, you take an x-ray again, and now you have degenerative changes. Let's talk about that shoulder bursitis, that shoulder tendonitis. Which comes first? It's like saying, what's come first, the chicken or the egg? You know, can one stimulate the other? Can a potentially irritating tendonitis cause a bursitis?
Yeah, it absolutely can.
So how, you know, the bursitis is you have, the bursipacs are really shock absorbers. They sit in between tendons and muscles and tendon and bone and so forth.
Correct.
So is it an overuse situation that causes that inflammatory response? Or how can they be irritated? Can trauma cause it?
Yes, absolutely. Both in that case. The overuse pattern, definitely. Trauma to the shoulder or anything further up or below can also cause that same pattern as well.
So we have, and I'm trying to distinguish this as, you know, I'm thinking through the numbers of patients that we've seen with these kind of conditions. You know, people like go out and play a little racquetball, a little squash, golfers and tennis players, but just going out and playing in the garden and, you know, digging in your garden. You have this mechanism, these muscles that make every joint in the body work. And in the case of the shoulder, all the nerves that supply the intervention, the neurology, if you will, to the shoulder come from the lower portion of the neck.
Correct.
And so subsequently, if there's any restriction, you know, in the vertebrae, the bones of the neck, they can cause the nerves to be irritated. In our business, by the way, we call it vertebral subluxation. That simply means the vertebrae are out of position and irritating the nerves. Osteopaths will call it spinal lesion. But the effect is the same. It dampens down the functional capacity to facilitation of the muscles that hold that shoulder together.
Right.
So if that's the case, now we're setting ourselves up because the muscles aren't working the way they're supposed to. So now we move forward, and pretty soon we have restriction. Talk about that restriction. We have irritation. The tendons are swollen. They're irritated. The bursa is protecting it because it's the buffering mechanism between, you know, the tissues. And now it's getting progressively worse. What does that mechanism, I want to get into the mechanics later, but what does the mechanism of a frozen shoulder look like? Is there adhesion, scar tissue? Is there swelling or none of that? Or is it just something that for whatever reason we can't get the shoulder to move?
Yeah, so definitely with the frozen shoulder, we're looking at that whole joint capsule and everything around it being inflamed and having the scar tissue kind of built up in and around it. And that ultimately is what's going to prevent the shoulder from moving freely like it needs to. But ultimately, how that even comes to be is the musculature around it isn't moving properly. You're not getting that proper motion. You'll have different muscle compensations coming into play on that, that is ultimately going to have that inflammation, the scar tissue build up.
You know, here's an interesting situation. It came in the other day, and I was, one of the docs was asking me about this patient because they thought there was something else. But from a straight mechanical presentation, there's a woman that came in, and she complaining that her shoulders were aching deeply. And she seemed to be able to move her hands in front of her without too much jeopardy, but she couldn't reach around and unhook her bra strap in the back without pain. Mm-hmm. What's the type of mechanism? What's going on there that, you know, she can use some, but she can't, she no longer can reach around and get it done. She has to move it all the way around the front, hook it, and then move it all the way back.
Yeah, so there's a couple muscles there that are really tight and restricted that aren't necessarily working properly that is prohibiting that particular individual from being able to fully extend backwards and reach around to be able to unhook or hook that bra strap like she's supposed to.
So how do you identify, you know, that particular situation? So she's saying, I'm hurting. My doc wants injected. He wants to put steroids in. You know, it hurts like heck. I can't even, you know, I can't get my hands back and even get up close to it anymore, which I could do it all the time. But she also tells you that it was a situation that just suddenly came on. There was no injury. So is it a miscommunication, you know, with the muscle patterns? Was it a trauma that she wasn't aware of? She bumped into something? You know, did she move, you know, one of the other bones of the, you know, that shoulder mechanism?
Yeah, so sure, any of those things could have likely happened, but sometimes it's as simple as a misalignment in that lower cervical spine that you mentioned that is going to give that aberrant neurological information to the musculature of the shoulder, and in turn having those muscles not work properly and freely like they're supposed to.
You know, it's interesting when we see patients with so many differing types of mechanical aberrations, if you want. I'll use that term. They can't, you know, reach up. They can't put dishes away. They can't reach around and clothe themselves properly. They, you know, they have a difficult time holding on to things. I've had tennis players that have come in that are master's levels that, you know, they came in because they can't hold the racket. They can't feel the racket anymore.
Right.
So, you know, we're dealing with a multitude of different things. And I want to get into, we get in the second half of the program, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the relationship to other systems in the body. But I want to talk about the little frozen shoulder a little bit more. But unfortunately, so many of the medications that are being given today are making matters much worse. And that's unfortunate. That's the piece that we, you know, we have to let you know that there's things that can be done. We're here at 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening at the Roussel Center for Healing and Fairfax, Dr. Jerry Cowart, and he's going to be talking to you about shoulder pain but how to fix it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roussel here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roussel live in studio. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on anything that's going on in your world, whether you're on some kind of crazy medication that you want to get off and don't know what the right questions to ask your doctor, or if you got lab work that just came back that doesn't make any sense to you, give us a call. By the way, when we're not here, you can always reach us at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. Or simply go to RoussellCare.com. That's RoussellCare.com. And by the way, there's tons of things on that website. We have videos and we have data and so forth, things that you can really appreciate and answer a lot of questions that may be lurking behind the scenes for you that you didn't know what to do with. My guest in studio and your host this Wednesday evening, the 11th of December, Dr. Jerry Cowart. He's going to be talking to you about shoulder pain, dysfunction, and, you know, things that make that shoulder just sore and it aches and it throbs and it feels like a toothache and it's deep and it's losing your motion. You can't raise your arms up anymore. Forget about throwing anything around and playing, you know, with your kids. And your doctor says, well, let's wait and see. We'll put a steroid injection in. It feels a little bit better, but then it gets worse. You know, what's that all about? Dr. Cowart, welcome back again.
Thank you.
I want to talk about one little mechanism that a lot of people forget about, and it's the covering of the muscles, the ligaments, the bones even, you know, that when it's altered can cause a tremendous amount of restriction. I'm talking about the fascial network of the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere, including the shoulder. So when we have a fascial aberration, you know, we talked a little bit about tears and restrictions in the first part of the program. How does this fascia work into all of this?
Yeah, so basically your fascia is kind of a saran wrap wrapper around, you know, all those structures that you mentioned, including, you know, the musculature. And we see that whenever it's supposed to lie flat, very nice, very pretty, over the muscle, but whenever it starts to kind of bunch up, whenever we're having that aberrant movement, aberrant motion that we're talking about, it'll start to kind of bunch up. It'll kind of be like little knots under the skin. And then that's something that also needs to be addressed when we're dealing with these kind of issues, because if that whole mechanism isn't working properly, you're going to have the same similar symptoms and issues that you had, you know, that we previously discussed as well.
What causes, and I think this is a question that a lot of our listeners have, what causes that fascia? I mean, they're hearing mild fascial pain syndrome, things of that nature. And now we're talking about restricted muscle patterns because of that fascial network. What causes that stuff to occur? What triggers it? What happens? Why does this stuff bunch up?
So we can have different, obviously, like the aberrant movement that we're talking about as well. There could also be some nutritional deficiencies as well that can be causing that. A few different things as well in relationship to that.
So a nutritional pattern, a nutritional deficiency can get in and alter that fascial layering, if you will. What are you talking about specifically?
More like B12, the folate.
So B12 and folate have to do with the nutritional integrity of fascia.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So how prevalent is that? How often do we see people who, you know, have that type of situation? Do you see it in your practice with, you know, everyone that comes in with a joint pain, whether it's shoulder pain or whatever, or is it something that you have to rule in and rule out and it's, you know, maybe it's there?
I see it fairly common just because it's fairly common for people to have nutritional deficiencies nowadays. I don't see it as 100% of the time. But I do see it fairly common in my practice.
You know, it's interesting because even with a professional athlete, and, you know, I asked you that question specifically because we see so many top elite folks and they get restricted. And, you know, you think that they're in amazing shape and all of a sudden they have loss of motion, particularly in major muscles. And those are the ones you wouldn't think that would fail on them. But then when we test them, we find that they're B12 to folic acid ratio is off, or in fact, they are deficient.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, those are the kind of things that we see across the board. It's kind of interesting. You know, the fascial planes are amazing in how they cause everything to work in synchrony, if you will, one leading to the next. So they kind of layer over each other. And there's a lot of information in the literature that says the body has one primary sheet of fascia that covers everything. It just begins to differentiate and grow and spread and things of that nature. This Wednesday evening, I know that you're going to get into the depths of this and you're going to talk about, you know, how all this stuff comes about. You know, kind of teasing everybody right now relative to how the subject works. When we come back in the next portion of the program, I want to get into a little bit more in the frozen shoulder. I want to get into the incidence of these problems, but I want to get into what can be done when somebody's really hurting and, you know, that throb takes place. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. We're coming up to the halfway portion of the program. Love to talk to you. 888-630-9625. Give us a call and see if we can help you as well. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are in studio. It's been a beautiful day outside. I hope you've had the opportunity to get out there and play a little bit because it's truly, truly lovely. We're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday, the 11th, at the Rizzo Center for Healing in Fairfax, Dr. Jerry Cowart. He's going to be talking about shoulder pain and all the things that can affect it, but more importantly, what you can really do about it. And, you know, it's one of those things that are fixable, and that's the most important piece. I want you to know that you can turn this stuff around and make a huge difference. Before we get started and get more into the meat of the program, I want to go to the phones. Mary, thank you for calling. How can we help you?
Hello?
Hi, Mary. I hear you.
Hi. I want to bring up another situation. Recently, I had a pain in my neck, and my neck kept hurting day after day. And then it went into my upper arms where I couldn't lift my arms, and I still can't lift them all the way. And then the pain went down into my hip area and into my ankle. Here, it was polymyalgia rheumatica. So people could have the shoulder pain, you know, and the neck pain, and it might be that.
So, Mary, let's walk you. I'm going to walk you through that a little bit because there's.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I'm going to walk you through what really took place with you. So you have a neck problem that ends up with a shoulder problem that ends up into the hip and then goes all the way down. So there's it's polymyalgia rheumatica. I take a little exception in many cases to the diagnosis because it's really a broad brush blanket type of diagnostics. They're saying, you know, this is affecting many different areas. Poly means many, myalgia, muscle pain, rheumatica, maybe from a rheumatic type of condition. So it's just telling you the things that have taken place, but it doesn't answer the question why that came about in the first place. So when you have something that starts in the neck and then it migrates in the shoulder can't work unless the nerves from the neck are working properly. So the cause, the initiation, comes from the spine, the vertebral area, and it's affecting those nerves that allow the shoulder to work properly. And then subsequently, if the shoulder's not working, the muscles are weak, then the shoulder mechanism begins to act abnormally, and you get this achy, deep, hurting feeling. Now, because it's affecting the spinal system, it can affect anything below it. Think about this. If, God forbid, anything happens to somebody and they break their neck, everything below that is paralyzed. And you can have a paralysis, but you can also have pain that can affect the lower portion of the body that starts up high. And particularly if it's affecting one area more so than the other, meaning maybe the left side or the right side, you know, there's more there. It tells you that the long tracts of the spinal column are being affected by something above it. You always go as high up into the system as you possibly can go. And that's where you see, you know, the origin of these things. So when you have a poly, it means many, myalgia, many muscles, and a rheumatica pattern, that means, you know, it's a rheumatoid problem maybe. You know, Dr. Cowart, do you want to jump in on this?
Yeah, I mean, just like what you said, I typically would also be looking as far up into the system as possible as well, just like you mentioned.
Sedimentation rates were elevated.
Of course. I mean, any type you get in, sedimentation rates are generalized indicators of inflammation within the body. It doesn't tell you where it's coming from. Now, let's take it to the other side. I'm going to take your comment and say, okay, let's say that it is something else underneath it that's causing it. It could be things like even a Lyme pattern that can cause it. Even a Bartonella problem can cause it. A rotavirus can cause that type of thing if it gets into the joint spaces. Usually, it's going to be in one area more so than the other. If it begins to affect the body systemically, it's usually in the intestinal tract and then becomes pervasive.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with that. And, you know, oftentimes those critters, if you will end up getting into one joint and then systemically moving elsewhere into all those other joints, like you mentioned, your hip and then into the feet and ankles. And like you said, a lot of times, you know, it's traveling and gets stuck systemically within that intestinal tract.
You know, it's well known. There was an article, Mary, that was published back in April of 2018, so about a year and a half ago now. And they reported infections with Bartonella. And, you know, Bartonella's, at one point was called cat scratch fever as well. And the study looked at how it affected different portions of the structural system, not just the immune system, but joint pain and ligament laxity, synovial membrane irritation with bursitis, like we were talking about earlier. It can actually go into the elbow. It can cause the structural joint spaces to deviate and so forth. So this can be significant. So just putting a tag on something, it describes a lot of things that are going on, but it doesn't describe what caused the problem. And to resolve anything, in my world, in my head, anything can be taken care of as long as you know the triggering mechanism of what took place.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with that.
Mary, I hope that helps a little bit. I appreciate your phone call. If we can be more help, obviously call us. And, you know, if you have the opportunity to join us and, you know, bring a friend with you at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax this Wednesday evening, I promise you we'll ask you more specific questions and unveil this a little bit more. It can be any of these things. It could be something that very simple. It could be something that's complex. But to treat it, you really have to understand the mechanism that's underneath it. 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Dr. Jerry Cowart, and he will be your presenter, your host at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. It's the 11th of December already, and it's our last presentation, our last in-house educational opportunity for you in 2019. We won't start up again until January. So we'd love to have you as our guest. Promise you that it'll be a very straightforward, exciting presentation. But more importantly, and the reason that we do these things is so that you can walk away with information to apply properly to help yourself. So please join us, and you know, you can do two things, right? You can go out, you can have a little dinner, you can come and listen to the program for about an hour, and then, you know, or you can reverse it and then go Christmas shopping, go do something of that nature. But you know, we'll have some fun together, I promise you that. My guest, Dr. Jerry Cowart. Jerry, let's talk about a little bit of the other things that can happen because of shoulder pain. You know, there's a young gentleman in our practice right now who has shoulder pain, and okay. He came in and he's able to get function back and range of motion back and so forth, but he was still hurting, so we sent him out. And this is a guy that's basically going to school, and what we found is that there's a tear, you know, in the shoulder mechanism, in that glenoid cavity, that there was no injury. There was no, his wife didn't punch him or anything of that nature. I'm teasing, obviously. But there was no history of trauma. And then all of a sudden, this damage shows up in the glenohumeral joint, where the shoulder actually attaches to the outside of the scapula, that wing that we have in the back. How can things like that just constantly show up? Is it something that insidiously takes place over a period of time, where there's a little tear in this cartilage that's in there and then begins to break down, even become much more significant over time?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's always some sort of initiation to any of these things, and it's important to make sure you're getting regular, you know, checkups through, you know, chiropractic speaking, because when you're dealing with things of this nature, it, you know, one small little misalignment, whether it be there in that glenoid fossa that you were talking about, or, you know, higher up or lower down into that chain, can, you know, start creating that cascade. And then over time it builds up and you have that abnormal wear and tear that, you know, should be fine as you get older, as things progress. But when things just aren't completely aligned, that's when you start getting that breakdown, that degeneration, that osteoarthritis that we all know the trigger word of.
Well, you know, I'm glad you touched on that. People come in and they say, well, my doctor says I have arthritis, and
yes,
what can I expect from my age? And yeah,
right.
Exactly. So it makes me crazy, because arthritis it means a change in a joint.
Right.
Right. And they end up putting people on different types of medications that should be illegal to begin with. And they cause things to become progressively worse.
Right.
Now, here's the interesting thing, and the question that I ask many patients. Over the years, when you've had an injury or your shoulder's hurt or your neck hurt, how often do you take an NSAID, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, an aspirin, mm-hmm. Advil, Motrin?
Mm-hmm.
You know the drill. There's tons of it, right?
Right.
And they'll sit there and they'll say, well, you know, I take it on a regular basis. My doctor told me that I should take a baby aspirin every day for my heart.
Right.
Are we dealing with a problem here?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the thing. If you're going to constantly take those, the aspirins, the Motrins and all that stuff over and over again, just because you randomly like bumped your head or like my shoulder starting to ache or whatever the case is, that just masks the symptoms so you can keep going on about your life. But then you never actually figure out what caused it to begin with and prevent it from happening again.
You know, there's an interesting situation. The research is starting to prove out things that I've been talking about for years when it comes to taking daily aspirin. Aspirin competes, and any of the NSAIDs, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, it competes with the receptors within joint spaces, within cartilage, for a sulfate ion. Sulfate ion is what repairs the cartilage. That's why when you go out and you take glucosamine sulfate and, you know, hyaluronic acid and MSN and all those things, that sulfate ion, that glucosamine sulfate, is what really allows that mechanism to heal. So if you have something that is competing with that receptor site,
right,
it can't heal.
Correct.
And actually, the inflammatory response continues to go up.
Correct. Absolutely.
And subsequently, now you've got damage insidiously to the point where you take an x-ray. Yep, there's the arthritis. And guess what? You got bone on bone now.
Right.
And you had a problem.
Yeah, and that was kind of the whole point, is you are continuing to take these things and it dumps down the pain, but it's going to continue to add on to the problem, and you keep taking it and keep taking it. And then, yeah, just like you mentioned, that's when you eventually will get to that bone on bone process.
So here's the ringer as well. How do the bone spurs and the deformation occur within these joint spaces? You know, particularly in the shoulder, you take an x-ray of a patient and you see the joint, the ball that goes into the glenohumeral socket, it's deformed.
Right.
Or you have a spur hanging off the bottom of it. And
right.
How do those things show up? Is it wear and tear? Is it biochemical aberration? How does that get to that place where insidiously, you know, it's formed obviously over a period of time?
Yeah. So basically is, you have that abnormal malposition. Things aren't aligned properly in that sense. Your body is oftentimes pretty smart in that it'll try to relay down that bone to help that protective mechanism. It's the whole compensatory thing. And it'll keep laying down bone, destroying the cartilage. It's the abnormal wear and tear. And then next thing you know, you end up getting those bone spurs and the bone on bone and this destruction and deformation of that cartilage.
888-630-9625. Love to talk to you this Wednesday evening, the 11th of December. Wow, it's passing like so fast. It's amazing. 7 p.m. at the Fairfax office. Dr. Jerry Cowart will be your presenter, your host. He's going to be talking about shoulder pain. I want to talk to you about this mechanism called the shoulder so you really understand it. You know, it's made up of two major joints. You know, one at the top of the shoulder, it's clavicle. It's the collarbone. And, you know, we're sitting there and that collarbone comes together with something that is called the acromion, and it comes off of the shoulder blade. And it's held together by a ligament. It's a very unstable joint. And yours truly busted that up and separated it about 40 years ago with a motorcycle accident. I went over the top of the handlebars and came down on my left shoulder and had a grade 3 separation.
Yep, that'll do it.
So that'll do it very quickly. And, you know, but that was my left side. And, you know, the right side, we have traumas and so forth that, well, we won't even talk about that stuff today. but no, the truth of it is that instability, that trauma, mm-hmm. you know, took place. And so you end up with a permanently unstable situation over
right.
a period of years. Some people have had them pinned and put together, but when you immobilize them abnormally that way, they actually can cause a whole lot more of a problem.
Correct.
So that AC joint, if you will, you know, it meets that acromion area, so we have the AC separation I just talked about. You know, and then you have the glenohumeral joint, and that's where the arm at the top of it, it goes into this fossa, this receptor. So you have this glenohumeral joint, the humerus, the arm, the glenoid fossa, the other portion of the shoulder. And that's the area that they, when things get bad, that they want to repair by putting new pieces in place.
Right. Yeah. Either the repair or the injections and oh yeah.
Well, that's where I'm going. I want to take that apart. So the surgical intervention often ends up more often than not in the inability to move. Mm-hmm. But we also have seen not only pain control with acupuncture and laser, but regeneration with stem cell.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to touch upon that a little bit this Wednesday evening on, you know, the types of applications, particularly in shoulder degeneration, that stem cell is capable of doing, you know, and enhancing the capacity of your body to repair. So it's another reason that you need to really attend to this presentation. It's an important piece of data. There's so much now that can be done in combinations of therapy that you don't have to suffer, and you really need to know the mechanism. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later on. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. We'll be right back after some extremely important information. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizal here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rizal live as you do, well, during football season, Saturdays at 4 o'clock. And after the NFL season's over, we will be back on Sundays at high noon. You know the drill, and we'd like to thank all of you for, you know, tuning in. And we know that there are thousands of you that are listening to the program, and we certainly appreciate it. And particularly the fact that questions that we get from you, can always go to our website, rizalcare.com, and send us a note. We do respond. We will answer the situation. And again, don't know how all of you find us in the armed forces, but thank you for your service. We appreciate you allowing us to do what we do. And in this holiday season, we not only give thanks for you, but we celebrate what you do. Let's go to the phones. Corbin, how can we help you?
Yes, sir. How are you, Dr. Tom?
Good, my friend. We got a couple minutes. How can I help you out?
Yeah, I've got a problem. It's called TOS, thoracic outlet syndrome.
Okay.
Yep. I was told that by my chiropractor. I sleep on my right shoulder or my left shoulder, never on my stomach or back. And I wake up once an hour, once a half hour at night and go from shoulder to shoulder. Because of the pain, it wakes me up, and I have tingling and numbness right down my arm into my hands and fingers.
Okay, so
my chiropractor said it was TOS, and I got a book on it. You know, they want to do surgery.
No, you don't let anybody cut you. No.
Thank you.
You know, unless you have a rib in there that is an extra rib, and that's rare. You would have known about that when you were a kid years ago. So yeah. Here's...
I was a varsity swimmer, and I did the butterfly for 8 years in high school and college.
There you go.
Which is the rotation of each shoulder, if
right.
You understand, the butterfly. And I'm 76, so that was, 60 years ago?
Yep. Let me jump in.
This started 5 years ago, sir.
Let me jump in real quick. So with a thoracic outlet syndrome, thoracic meaning the upper chest cavity outlet is the area between your neck and your chest cavity. And it's the nerves that come out there. What's happening without really examining you is simply this. And we see it more often than not where the shoulders are coming forward and they're compromising that group of nerves called the brachial plexus as they go into the chest and into the shoulder. So it's taking place because your posterior muscle girdle, the muscles that pull the shoulders backwards are not holding strongly. So no matter what you do, if you lay on your side, you're making it actually worse than that in laying it back. So you know, temporarily you lay on your back, but you have to strengthen those muscles that should be holding your shoulders backwards. And if they don't happen, it'll get progressively worse over a period of time. But Corbin, this can be fixed. It's not something that you have to live with. It just has to be done properly. The exercises are very specific. They're very straightforward. But you have to do them in a guided manner, meaning somebody has to take you through them on a regular basis. But thoracic outlet syndrome is really, really resolvable. If we can help you in any way, I really appreciate it. I wish we had more time to get into it. I'd give you the mechanism. Sometimes the rib cage in the back is involved. There's other pieces. Dr. Cowart, real quickly, we've got about a minute. What are you going to be doing on Wednesday evening?
So we're going to be talking about starting with the anatomy of the shoulder, so you guys know, you know, what all is there and what can be affected, and then common issues such as thoracic outlet syndrome that people are typically suffering with, and then giving you different things of how to treat it, different things that I'm looking at and how I'll go about treating, and then stuff that you can be doing at home, like exercises and things of that nature. So definitely come join me. It's going to be fun. We're going to be a little active, and it's going to be a good time. Bring a friend.
You know, and here's the situation. Anything that's bugging you as well, it's open field. You can ask the doc, and, you know, whether it's a shoulder problem or something that's been bugging you, 'tis the season. It's our gift to you. You know, we'll deal with anything that we have to with you. And remember, this is the last in-house continuing education program that we have until next year. So it's the last one of 2019. And, you know, make sure you have all the information that you possibly can to make a decision that's appropriate and proper for your health. You know, my book, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program, by the way, it makes a really great Christmas present. Go online, pick it up, agelesshealthbook.com. We got to leave you. We'll see you next week. I love you all. Bye.